Hello and welcome to the First Impressions Podcast. This is the official podcast for the Forum of Incident Response and Security Teams. Please join us for the 36th Annual FIRST Conference this summer in Fukuoka, Japan, June 9th through 14th, 2024. For more information, please visit first.org. And now we join the interview in progress.
So we're here live at the FIRST Conference in Fukuoka, Japan. I'm lucky enough to be talking to Todd Beardsley, team lead for KEV at CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris.
So you're going to be giving a presentation later today, I believe, on KEV, talking about known exploits. So who's KEV?
Who's KEV? It's funny you should ask. Honestly, my direct supervisor, our branch deputy, his name is Kevin, and so it does get complicated. But no, KEV stands for the Known Exploited Vulnerability List, and you must pronounce the K or else it doesn't make any sense.
Isn't the K always silent?
The K is sometimes silent, except for when I'm expanding the acronym of KEV to Known Exploited Vulnerabilities.
The first question that springs to mind, kind of feel like I know the answer here, but isn't just the latest exploits, they're the ones that are getting exploited, right? The fun new stuff that's just come out?
Oh, you would expect. So it was not 2 weeks ago. We added a vulnerability from 2017, so six or seven years ago, is some old Oracle WebLogic thing that just keeps getting popped. Bad guys love end day, and sometimes that end number can be in the thousands. So old stuff does get popped all the time. When we have like recent-ish reliable evidence of exploitation of old stuff, that goes on the KEV too. We do new stuff, obviously. The new stuff is a little bit harder, actually, to validate the exploitation, but we can get into that.
Well, I guess like the old stuff, there's detections for it. You would hope that there's some, you know, logging and information and better understanding about the older stuff than the new stuff. So I guess that makes it a little bit easier to validate.
They tend to be easier to spot for sure, and easier to validate. I would say that the newer vulnerabilities, I'd say the biggest issue we have with validating the exploitation is just like finding the evidence of it, right? Especially if there are vulnerabilities where it might be, you know, one in a set. You know, sometimes you'll have vulnerability announcements that have like two or three different CVEs in there, and then one of them gets exploited, but all the news reports of like, oh, you know, vulnerability foo, bar, and baz were exploited, were recorded as exploited today. And we're like, well, is it really all of them? Because why would the bad guy need all of them when just the one like does what they want to do? So that's the kind of detective work that we have to do to maintain the accuracy and the integrity of the KEV, because we want to be really sure that the things that we're putting on the KEV are in fact being exploited by bad guys to do crime or espionage, right? Those are the things that we care about. I don't care about your honeypots. I don't care about scanning. I don't care about anything other than like for real, you know, criminal or espionage use of vulnerabilities. That's what gets you on the KEV.
For people who are like me and are not necessarily in the depths of that on a daily basis, could you explain what's actually in the KEV data set and what people would be going there to find out?
Yeah, I guess we get a little bit ahead. So the KEV, the Known Exploited Vulnerability List, or KNOWN, is about 1,150 or so vulnerabilities, last I checked. And it lists all the vulnerabilities that we know have been exploited, that have a CVE identifier, and have a reasonable mitigation available. So it must be patchable, it must be identifiable, and it must have been exploited in the wild. And then on top of all that, it also has to present a significant threat to the U.S. federal enterprise. We can go into what all that means. In fact, I will be going into what all that means in my talk later on here at FIRST. But short story is, it has to be something like, I'm not going to put every rinky-dink like WordPress plugin vulnerability on the KEV, even though it's exploited. I'm not going to put, you know, bugs in your Nintendo Switch on the KEV, even though we know it's exploited. I'm sorry. It's not really critical to the operation of like the U.S. federal enterprise. And so that is my bar for KEV, because the KEV is sprung into existence. The KEV sprung into existence as a result of the Binding Operational Directive 2201, which basically said that CISA must produce this list of known exploitive vulnerabilities so that federal agencies know about them and can patch them in a time frame. The bot is a little bit loose on like what that time frame is. We tend to shoot for 3 weeks unless it's like really super duper on fire. But that is the purpose of the KEV. Now, it doesn't mean that only the U.S. government uses the KEV. Lots of things use the KEV. Vendors, vulnerability management vendors, almost all of them now have like a KEV button. And you can just press that and then you can scan your environment for things that are on the KEV. So KEVs tend to be like the we know for sure that these are being used by bad guys, therefore you really, really, really shouldn't have these things hanging out in your network. But like the only organizations that must patch these is U.S. government. Everyone else merely should patch these.
I know with KEV, the work I'm doing on MVSP, Minimum Viable Secure Product, we've now included KEV as one of the updates that we had last year to as a prioritization metric where it's like you should patch all of these vulnerabilities, but if it's on the KEV, you should patch it very quickly.
Right. And so KEV is that kind of, it's a filter that a lot of places use of like, and this is the floor. It's like, it's kind of interesting for me in like my career because, you know, I used to work on Metasploit for many years and Metasploit represented like a minimum, like that lowest possible bar. You must be able to defend against Metasploit if you're going to be playing with the grown-ups, right, on the internet. And KEV is kind of an extension of that. Like, you must be able to defend against the KEV, or else what are you even doing in your patching exercises, right? Your change control has to handle something that might need to be patched inside of 10 days, 14 days, 21 days, something like that. The days of like waiting around for your next change control window are long, long gone. I think everybody in this building knows that. And I think most people in IT know that, but like the KEV is just like another underline to that, right? So like you have to be able to defend against these things.
So I guess like one of the things that's still missing for me is like where do these signals come from? Is this a broad set of US Gov signals, or is it broader than that? Does it also reach out towards industry where industry is providing information on what they're seeing through their systems?
Well, at CISA, we rely a lot on public-private partnerships, and so we use a lot of, you know, open source intelligence, a lot of media reports, a lot of reports from industry, either software vendors and providers, researchers, academics even sometimes, and we validate all of these signals to kind of cull through, like, well, what's actually getting, like, can we actually believe that it's getting exploited, and does it pose significant threat to the federal enterprise? If it hits those two things, almost always it already has a CVE, almost always it already has a patch. If it doesn't have it, there are cases where they don't, we do have to wait. But by and large, our signaling is like planet Earth. We're in touch with other governments around the world, we're in touch with industry, like we have real close relationships with every vendor, and we usually get pretty good answers pretty quickly on that. All that said, KEV is going to be slow. KEV tends to be kind of last to the scene. I have seen a couple vendors that are like very research focused that, you know, they brag, right? They say, and they should, they definitely should. And they will often say like, hey, we beat the KEV by 7 days on average to listing these vulnerabilities. I'm like, good for you. It wasn't a race to begin with, but you won it. And I'm happy for them, you know, like I want them to do that. And that's great for me because it's like, cool, now I can look at that list, assuming it's public and like the licensing terms are all reasonable and all that. I can look at that list like as a data point, right? And then I can figure out like, well, how did they know and all that. So all of our sourcing is kind of all over the place. The targets are, we're also very target agnostic. It doesn't have to just be like an event that happens in the US federal enterprise networks. If it happens in state, local, tribal, and territorial networks, that's fine too. If it happens in critical industry, which it's kind of hard not to be a critical industry these days, I think everything is a critical industry now, but like if it has to show up in some detectable way, that's when we start looking at it. But we're definitely not only geared toward, you know, attacks that happen with like U.S. government as the target.
Cool. I mean, this has given us a great overview of what KEV is and what you're trying to achieve with it. I'm looking forward to the presentation. People who are hearing the podcast, presentation's already happened. Sorry.
CISA.gov/KEV. CISA.gov/KEV. It's one of the shortest URLs in the U.S. government.
Nice. Perfect. And also, First may put this up on the YouTube channel. I'm not sure if they're putting up all the talks, but you know, check out the YouTube channel. And if not, then hit up Todd. He can help you.
Or Ted.
Either one works. God, now I'm going to have to get an alias, aren't I? Yep. All right, fine.
So we're here at the first conference in Fukuoka, Japan, talking to Ted Bodsley.
Todd Bardsley.
No, that's not right. It's Todd Beardsley.
Okay, let's start again. So we're here at the first event in Fukuoka, Japan. We're talking to... Now I've got Todd Bardsley in my... Oh, God. It's Todd. It's Todd. Todd Beardsley.
If some of this introduction ends up at the end of the podcast, I'll
Ted. Yeah. Oh, good old Ted. Oh.
Thank you for listening to the First Impressions podcast. I'm your host, Martin McKay, and along with Christian Riley, we interview people who are going to be speaking at upcoming FIRST conferences. We look forward to seeing you at the 36th annual FIRST conference this summer in Fukuoka, Japan. It'll be going on June 9th through 14th. For more information, please visit first.org.